All right, so we are looking at archaeological treasures that confirm the Bible. This is the last part, part 10, and we are looking at the Roman Empire. We should get through this fairly quickly. There's quite a few slides. There might be a couple weeks, but most of it's just going to be information for us here. So evidence in Asia Minor. When the New Testament was written, Asia was a peaceful, prosperous place lying at the heart of the Roman Empire. Bandits and pirates were under control. Public works were massive and far-reaching, and an efficient banking system existed. Coins were in common use. Business opportunities were great. Many people traveled extensively for business and pleasure. Public entertainment was provided in the forms of plays, concerts, orations, sports, and gladiatorial fights. Doesn't this sound like America today? Does it not sound like America today? I mean, it sounds like America to me today. I was just, you know, I'm an Eagles fan. Some of you know that. I like the Eagles, but I don't think I've watched a full game all season. So that's how much of a fan I am. All right, I'm getting a ringing here. Is anyone else hearing that? Can we maybe do something about that back there? It's pretty loud to me. But I am an Eagles fan. Yay, they won the Super Bowl. But if they lost, I'm like, okay, who cares? But one thing I did see is I saw some videos of the parade that they had and just the mass of people that were there. And the only thing I could think of was what mass idolatry in our country. As these people are willing to go out and spend who knows how many hours there as a sports team drives past them, cheering, and they've got all, you know, their items of worship. They've got all their clothing to say this is the God that we serve, as they cheer as that God passes by for a football team. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. Now look, some people are like, are you against sports and all that? And no, if you keep it in its proper perspective, I have no problem with it. But America does not do that. It's complete idol worship. It doesn't matter what sport it is, any sport. That's how all of them are. You know, the name fan comes from the word fanatic. You know, and what saddens me is that so many will sell out for some false idol like that, and they won't be a fan for Jesus. They won't sell out for Jesus and represent Jesus like that. What shame the heathen put us to, huh? Don't the heathen put us to shame sometimes in their love for their gods versus our love for the one true God? We need some Christians that'll sell out, that'll be all in, amen? That's what we need. All right, so this sounds just like America today. There was entertainment provided in plays, concerts, orations, sports, and gladiatorial fights. Archaeological excavations from the Roman period are extensive. And they truly are. I mean, as I went to Rome, and there's like constantly digging things up there, and they just go down layer by layer, and they're like, oh, this was this period, this was this period, this was this period. And you're standing there looking out over like ancient Rome, at least when we were, and they're showing you this area over here is this, this was this, this was this, this was this. And that's how they're doing it. That's how they're working that. So they really do. It really is the old world, and this is the new world. We are babies over here in America and North America versus the old world. All right, you can get a good feel for what conditions were like during the days of the apostles. Now, remember this picture right here. We'll see it again, but just remember it and just look at it. I mean, it's a pretty massive street right there. The aqueducts were well designed. That was just a means of bringing water into cities. There were three that supplied Pergamus, one being 50 miles long. And this is how they brought water into the city. All right, Ephesus. These are the gates to the city, and they were quite impressive. I mean, that's pretty amazing to walk into a city under those gates. Now think in its heyday when it's not all fallen apart, and just how beautiful that would have looked and impressive as you come into that city, and this is what you see. I mean, they had some money then. The main gate into Hierapolis, again, just, I mean, it's all worn out now and old, but, I mean, that thing's thousands of years old. Over 1,000. And look at the good shape it's in now. Imagine when they built it, how beautiful that would have looked. I mean, just incredible. Gate into the marketplace in Ephesus. Okay. I imagine the Apostle Paul walked through that. Think about that. To me, that's awesome to think about. I love history, though. So things like that to me are neat, and they're interesting. And I would love to walk through where Paul would have walked. The priestway in Ephesus, there were paved avenues lined with marble columns, statues, and shops. So they would have had shops along this way selling things I mean, this would have been a pretty heavily trafficked area. These were sometimes lit at night with lamps. Paul would have walked these roads. This is the picture I told you to remember, the Marble Way in Ephesus. Paul would have walked along these roads right there. Paul likely would have even preached right here. And as we come back to right here, I imagine Paul would have stood maybe just somewhere off to the side preaching right there, because the market is where a lot of people would gather. And Paul would be preaching there and seeking to win people and to reach them in these heavily trafficked areas. All right, the Arcadian Way in Ephesus. I mean, look at the lady in the picture just right there to give you an idea how large that is. I mean, as you look at it, that's a pretty big street right there in those columns as well. And here's an artist's rendering of the Arcadian Way in its heyday. Now, I'm just looking at that picture, and as I see the people there, I'm like, that must be, you know, the two in the middle, those must be men, right? What do you think? No? It's amazing how they still look like ladies, isn't it? Okay, moving on. Fronting this street in Hierapolis, an ancient street of Laodicea, there were colonnaded porticos or porches leading to major buildings. By the way, stuff like this as well, just the streets with the stones and paved, this is at least how it was in Rome as well. You could see there's still streets like that. I mean, that's how they had it. And it was the bigger stones. They were pretty big. There were colonnaded porticos or porches leading to major buildings. You know, we can still see, you know, some of the Roman influence here in America and a lot of buildings, you know, governmental buildings, when they make them, they still design it like that after that with those columns and everything walking into it. The White House has it. I mean, it looks nice. It looks beautiful. Here's where we get the idea from this architecture here. There were broad markets called agoras surrounded by columns and statues. The agora at Ephesus. You know, and this is what Paul would talk about when you, if you go and buy meat that's been offered to idols, he says, just for conscience sake, just don't ask. If you don't know that it's been offered to idols, just eat it. You know, you'd get it at a cheaper price because it was they were offering it to their idols, so they'd sell it at a cheaper price. He said, so if you go there and buy it, you know, for conscience sake, just don't ask. If you don't know, then amen, eat up. But once you find out, if you know it's been offered to idols, he said, don't eat it. Don't eat it. So it's like sometimes, hey, just don't ask. You know? I mean, it's better not to, just don't ask sometimes. Just, hey, where'd you get this? Just don't ask. Just enjoy. All right? I'm telling you. You're like, well, how does that apply today? Man, if someone might be a thief and they want to give you something, just be like, where'd you get this? If they say, well, I stole it, then you're like, I can't take that. You say, what are you, pastor, you take stolen goods? If I don't know, I will. If someone wants to give it to me and I don't know. How? Once I find out, though, I'm like, I can't take this. I can't have this. So for conscience sake, don't ask. Now, if you have a feeling and your conscience isn't like letting you, and you're like, man, this is my cousin and I know this dude's a thief, then you better not take it, because your conscience is telling you don't take it. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right? I'm not encouraging anyone to get stolen goods either. I'm just giving you a modern day example of what that looks like. All right? All right, so this was the agora at Ephesus. This is what it looked like, the columns. So that was the marketplace. There were elaborate monuments. I mean, look at just the design of that, how beautiful. Think of the work that went into that. That, like, just embarrasses the architecture of today, does it not? I don't even know how people can do that stuff there. How many of you have heard of, I forget what it's even called. I think it's just called David, the statue David. Have you heard of that? Have you seen that? That thing is gigantic. It is, like, huge. And the way they built it, it's disproportionate. If you were to be level with it, it looks disproportionate. It's not like made proper because the way the artist made it, it's beautiful. I've stood there and looked at it there in Italy. I forget if it was in Rome or what. We went to a bunch of places. But as you stand there looking at it from the floor, looking up, it looks properly proportioned because that's how good the artist was that sculpted that thing. He was able to make it. And I don't even know how you do it. I have no talent at all in that area. But the proportions were made so that as you stand looking up at it, it looks like it's supposed to be. The head's the right size that it should be. But if you were to, like, get up and level with it, it doesn't look right. because they made it so when you're standing there looking up, it looks good. And it's beautiful. I mean, it is smooth and you're like, wow, this is amazing. That's how it looks. And that's this same stuff too. I mean, it just looks beautiful. There were beautiful fountains. These are the ruins of the water palace at Ephesus. The water palace supplied water for the city through a network of pipes. Just like we have today, we think that, you know, as you go farther back, they're dumb and know nothing because the teaching of evolution. That, you know, we're just cavemen, you know, dragging our wives by their hair out, you know, to our house now. That's what they teach us. No, that's not how it's been. They had all this same stuff that we have. You're going to like one of these pictures as we get to it. It's you'll like it. Some parts of the, you probably won't like it, but you're going to laugh at least. Some parts of the cities were paved with tiles and mosaics. I mean, that's just beautiful. Think of the work, the man hours that went into making something like that, designing it and laying each tile. That's some patience right there. Ruins of a fountain surrounded by pavement tiles at Aphrodisias. Pavement mosaics at Ephesus. All right, public baths were places for socializing and were richly ornamented. There were separate sections for cold water bathing, warm water, and hot water. Think of that. So, how do they get the cold water to warm and hot? Well, they had furnaces and a system of piping so that they could have what they needed. Plus, you say, well, how do they get it there? How do they get the hot water there? How many of you know that as something builds heat, the pressure builds and it'll move itself? Any of you ever burned yourself taking a radiator cap off? That's because the heat inside builds pressure. And that's why that thing will shoot out at you, so you don't ever open a radiator cap if it's hot. Here you go. This is the one. They even had public toilets such as those we saw at Ephesus, which could seat 50 people at once. Now, who wants to go to the bathroom like that, right? That's how I want to do it, right? Just everyone there. Man, how many of you like using public restrooms as it is? Anybody? No, I'm like, that's like last ditch effort. I'm like, man, bad if I have to use a public restroom, all right? Because I'm not. I'll wait till I get home. You know, that's just how it is. But now look at this. I mean, just everyone just lined up. And, you know, I don't know if they separated between men and women. I don't know. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. All right, there were magnificent libraries. Look at how huge that is. That's the front of it. I mean, just imagine how big that thing is. I would have loved to walk in there in that day and just see, wow, that's amazing to me right there. The Celsian Library at Ephesus was housed in a two-story building with a beautiful colonnaded facade. And that is beautiful. I mean, just look at that. It's just amazing to walk into that. I would love to have been in that when it was actually built. The gymnasiums were used for athletic training, education, and socializing. That's a pretty big building there. The one at Sardis had 100 columns on the front facade, and that's just the front going into it. That's just beautiful. They were often connected to public baths and small theaters and were beautifully ornamented. So this is what the inside would have looked like. The theaters and stadiums featured plays, concerts, orations, festivals to the gods, gladiator competitions. And look at how big that is. I mean, that's pretty big right there. And people complain, you know, about having wood pews. Imagine sitting on stone for hours. You know, that'd be rough. But look at how long that's lasted. I mean, that's been there for 2,000 years. You know, they built it well. Condemned criminals would sometimes be burned alive or thrown to the wild beasts. And this was the entertainment. Now, let me just say this. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. All right, verse 21. Romans 1:21 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now look at this progression, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And they slowly step away from God to where they step into idolatry, and then they step into just giving themselves up. God gave them up, it says, to the uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Let me just stop and say that when people step into a sodomite lifestyle, it's because of the lust of their own heart. That is why it's not that they were born that way. It's they gave in to the lust of their own heart. They gave in to the lust of the flesh. This is what they wanted. This is what they desired. And it's all rooted in pride, because this is what I want, so I'm going after it. So that's what happened. And as they go, it just keeps going down farther and farther. And it says that, verse 28, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them over to a reprobate mind, meaning it rejected, it disapproved. And they were filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Malicious is extreme hatred and a disposition to injure. So this is how they were: full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. It goes on to say that they were without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Okay, so this is what happens as they devolve. This is what mankind goes to. Now, as we look at this right here, condemned criminals would sometimes be burned alive or thrown to the wild beast. This is without natural affection. That in humanity looks at that and says, how can you do that? That is without natural affection. How can a mother have her baby ripped to pieces inside of her body? That is without natural affection. And I don't care what they want to call it, if they want to call it a woman's choice or not, that is without natural affection to have your own child, your own offspring, ripped to pieces at your bidding. That's murder. Whatever they call it, it's murder. And those women and men that have had abortions are murderers. They're murderers. That's just what it is. And as Christians, don't let them beat you into submission and saying, oh no, and soft-pedaling what it is, because that's exactly what it is. I mean, look it up. Look online. Look at the pictures of little baby pieces. They got pictures of little baby arms and baby legs on quarters. You could see them sitting on a quarter. They've got pictures of that. How about when they find baby parts thrown in dumpsters? They found them. How about that? This is what happens. They rip them to pieces. And now we know they're harvesting baby parts. They've kept them alive so they could harvest their parts and then just murder them. And this is the abortion industry. This is where America has gone. This is what the reality of where we're at. We are Romans 1. America is Romans 1 right now. I almost printed it. I probably should have. But an article I got today about Vice President Mike Pence in a tweet giving praise to one of the sodomite Olympians for the U.S. We're all proud of you in caps. Really, he's the born-again Christian. See, this is the last days where there's a falling away. We're looking at it before our very eyes. And this, we're no different than this right here, where condemned criminals would sometimes be burned alive or thrown to the wild beasts. How many people, I hear Christians saying, man, just string them up, kill them. Look, yeah, if they're worthy of it, if they're actually worthy of it, then yes, we do need to. I think, hey, man, a public execution is a good idea for someone that's deserving of it. But not just because they're a Muslim. Believe what you want. When you actually commit a crime and you take someone's life, then we'll string you up. Okay, that's when you do it. You say, well, we want to stop them from doing it so we can take their liberty. I'm serious. Let's think about this. So we can take their liberty because they might do it. Then there's nothing to stop them from taking our liberty because we might do it. See, if there's going to be true liberty, then that means there's going to have to be some threat of danger. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. Dangerous liberty or peaceful tyranny. I mean, I was just reading of a senator, I believe it was, from California, who says they want to take all the guns from everybody. No one should have guns except the government. They get to keep them. All right, this is what happens when we get away from God. They're burned alive, thrown to the wild beasts. By the way, this is what's happening. Our entertainment's getting more and more debased. Okay, it absolutely is getting more and more debased. I'm not even talking about just the nakedness. Let's just talk about the brutality of it. I mean, the huge, swelling love for UFC. And a bunch of Christians, too. Having parties to watch, you know, two women bash their faces in. It is wicked. Watch two men do the same thing. It's wicked. And I'm telling you right now, in my flesh, I could enjoy watching that. But I won't, and I don't. My flesh wants to. But I don't. That's not natural. It's not natural to see two women bash each other's faces in. Women shouldn't even be doing that. Amen. Why are women doing that? We shouldn't even allow that. But look, when we get away from God, we're without natural affection. That's not natural for women to do that. It's not natural for women to dress like that. By the way, it's not natural for the men to dress like that either. Amen. And it's not natural for the men to beat their faces in either. I understand men go to war. I get that. But what is that for? That's all for entertainment. And I mean, we want to see their face all bashed and bloody. That's what we want to see. We are no different than this right here. Then the idolatry that happened in this day is no different than the idolatry that happens in our day. We just put a different name on it and we try and civilize it. Captive slaves were also killed. This was their entertainment. 2,500 Jewish captives were slaughtered in Caesarea Maritima to celebrate Titus's destruction of Jerusalem. They hated the Jews. And when Titus, you know, took over it in 70 AD, destroyed Jerusalem, they killed 2,500 Jewish captives. Christians were also killed in public spectacles. I mean, this is where they'd be thrown to the lions in places like this, or gladiatorial fights, whatever it may be, burn them alive, however they wanted to torture them. And we've read a lot about that. This is where it would happen, a lot of this stuff, so everyone can see, so it would be entertainment for everyone. I mean, this isn't outside the realm of this happening. I mean, just a few weeks ago in China, they just blew up an underground Christian building, Christian church. They just blew it up. Now, we say underground because it wasn't registered with the state. Yes, obviously it was above ground, and the state has been tolerating it. Really, the only thing that they're allowed to do is it has to be a state-registered church. Okay, that's what they need. By the way, it's the same thing's already happening in America. They're not blowing churches up yet, but they have state-registered churches. Now, who knows where those are at, what they're called. Government-sanctioned churches. They're incorporated churches, 501c3 status churches. Now, people want to argue with me. I'm like, I don't care what you say. An incorporation is a creature of the state. Only the state can create that corporation. It's the same thing. It's a government-sanctioned religion. Okay, that's what it is. And that's all that's allowed in China. Now, they've tolerated a lot of them for a long time, but this was a mega church, underground church. It was a big building, and they just blew it up. And they've imprisoned several of the pastors that have been there as well. See, toleration is not liberty, and they had toleration there, and they got tired of it. So this, you know, we haven't moved beyond doing things like this. I'm just saying. I'm not necessarily saying that they're killing them in public like this, but we're not far from that, is my point. And they do it in Muslim countries. This is why we can't let Muslims come here and change this country and have Sharia law. You say, didn't you just say we should let a Muslim be a Muslim? Yes, we should let a Muslim be a Muslim. If you're willing to come here and follow our laws. Don't change this country. See, those laws protect everybody. It lets the Muslim be the Muslim, but it also lets the Jew be the Jew, and it lets the Christian be the Christian. Okay, see, that's the difference here. So you can't come in here and change these laws and make it Sharia law, which usurps the Constitution. You can't come do that. That's not allowed. That's where you've stepped beyond your means. And that's why we have to stand on the laws that we have in this land, because they protect everybody. The theater at Ephesus held 25,000 spectators. I mean, that's pretty big. It had a three-story marble stage which acted as a sounding board, so it would just project off of that so everyone there could hear it. Actors speaking in a normal voice could be heard throughout the theater. There'd be an echo, you know, and if everyone's quiet, then obviously everyone can hear it. The theater at Aphrodisias seated 7,000 and had a three-story marble stage. The theater at Hierapolis seated 20,000. I mean, that's nice. I mean, what they're building there, I mean, that's beautiful looking right there. The performance area could be flooded with water for miniature mock naval battles. I mean, who would like to see that? That'd be pretty neat to see, wouldn't you, in a play? I mean, man, that thing's set up like that. You know, they could just fill it with water. The theater at Pergamos held 10,000. Don't slip and fall. All right. The acoustics were so perfect that an actor speaking in a normal voice could be heard on the topmost seat. The hippodrome at Aphrodisias was about 300 yards long and had a capacity of 30,000. So the seats all have grass on them, but it's right there. We're looking at it. And then on the other side, you can see it as well. That was the seating. The hippodrome hosted races, long jumping, wrestling, discus, javelin throwing, gladiatorial contests. The gladiators oftentimes fought to the death. Oh man, we're going to have to stop. All right, we'll stop right there. I didn't realize it was past time. All right, we'll pick up with this next week.